to add up, you know, the totality of it. That's one way you could have looked at it. Or if there are different components of kilkul and tikkun in the same malacha, so are we? Do we focus on the objective, the subjective, the intent, anything, any bit of tikkun? These are the questions that we've been discussing. Okay, so what we saw already was that Korea Bechamaso itself is a very fascinating argument in the Rishonim. The simple pshat, most Rishonim hold that Korea Bechamaso is kilkul. The Gemara says that it's like, you know, Vodazara, when you lose your temper or when you need that kind of destructive outlet for your anger management, as we call it. But the exception to that, as we saw, is Shitas HaRambam, very, very important. And the Rambam expands on this, not only Korea Bechamaso. The Rambam, you know, will apply possibly to other cases as well. Eitan, right? Kol Bechamero, right? You know, if you don't beat him up gratuitously, but because, you know, he's done you wrong, as they say. So, things like that. I mean, the Rambam has a whole, you know, slew of cases where if it's, you know, an outlet for your legitimate anger and so on, and psychologically it's beneficial for you to come to terms with whatever wrong has been done to you, that might be in violation of Yisurim, but that would not constitute kilkul on Hilchos Shabbos. That's a yud, kes, all the Rambams that we have to look at. Yeah.
When the Rambam says, Siyash Vesadas, he's referring also to, in the beginning of the Lach, he says, Korei Lachamoso and Korei Alameis.
Yeah.
Is he referring to both of those?
It's hard to, could be.
Pashas in the Sugya is that Korei Alameis is because of the, you know, Mishal Mitzvah of some sort.
Right. But that, as we know, that not all Mishal are happy with that either.
Maybe the whole Rambam is just an anomaly. I mean, it's not...
Well, the truth is that the way, if you learn the Gemara the way we were suggesting that the Rambam has to learn, and what do you do with the continuation of the Gemara? The Gemara is like about a Zara. So, as we pointed out, the Magen Mishnah, something else Caleb say, the Gemara only says you shouldn't do it. The Gemara never says that you know, that if you do it, it isn't tikkun. So then, when the Gemara comes to, you know, the other cases, you could argue that the other cases are there because there are cases where you should do it, or where it's a positive action. So then, it's not mishum. You don't need mishum mitzvah to make it tikkun. You need mishum mitzvah to explain why this is a positive behavior, all things being equal. So I think that answers both parts of the Rambam. But as we noted, the Rambam does two things. Number one, he includes all sorts of cases that other people would say are definitely kilkul, meaning he expands tikkun, makes it very, very subjective. But at the same time, he also, you know, builds up the explanation, the justification, namely the statement about, you know, the psychological benefit. So as we noted, if you disagree with the Rambam, you could disagree from several points of view. I think who mentioned to me last time, the Tosafot Rashi, Michael? Yeah, go ahead. That the Michael mentioned to me that the
Tosafot Rashi agrees that it would be a tikkun if it wasn't for the
Yisur. Yeah, he says, Avav Bishon is Hani Mizeh, but nonetheless, since it's Asur, so therefore it's Kilkul. As we pointed out, you could disagree with the Rambam for different reasons. The Rambam felt that even though it's Asur, he wasn't denying the Gemara that it's like a Bodhisattva, that it's bad behavior. You wouldn't want this person, you know, at your dinner table, or maybe other places either, right? His behavior is unacceptable in every way. The Rambam doesn't deny that. Nonetheless, the Rambam says that what's permissible and what's prohibited is not identical with what is mekalkel and what is metaking. In this case, the halakhic reality isn't koveya this issue. That's assumption number one. And assumption number two is, and not only that, but it is, you know, psychologically beneficial, which is interesting, meaning something that is psychologically beneficial can still be asur, because it's overridden by other factors, by the longer-term implications. Again, maybe it's only a short-term psychological benefit, but a long-term, you know, it reinforces bad behavior in other areas, or even if it didn't. The point is it could just be usur, it could just be unacceptable behavior from a religious point of view. But, so the Rambam really has two assumptions, that it is beneficial, at least in the short term, and number two, that's enough even if it's usur. And the Rishonim will argue, could disagree with either of those. They could say it's not really beneficial. The reason that we consider it a vanazara is there's a reflection of the fact that we consider it to be destructive. Now that could be in the long term, and therefore the long term, you know, outbalances the short term, or even in the short term. You know, may make him feel like he's feeling better, but it really isn't good for him in any way. Which is, even the Tosafot Rashi uses the expression Afafisha mishani minei. It's hard to know what the mishani means in his own image, again, his pleasure, or it means mishani minei means it's beneficial for him, it's good for him, in a way. But either way, I agree with Michael that the Tosfos Rosh is trying to not disagree so much with the Rambam's psychological evaluation of the potential benefit. I think he's saying afapichein is asur, and with anything that's asur is makalka. That's the other side of it. Of course, once you say that anything that's asur is makalka, does that mean that everything that is mitzuvah is mitakein? The answer is, what these things have in common is the halakhic reality side of it, which, I think is always a fascinating issue. Clearly, at the same time, it could be mechalik. You could say that something, that's asur is in either direction. You say something that's asur is mechalkel. It doesn't mean something that is mitzuvah is metakin. And you could say the opposite, too. You could say that something that is mitzuvah is metakin. Something that's asur may also be metakin if it has benefit. It's hard to know. Partly the issue is, in our topic, how much tikkun do you require? Any tikkun... only a tikkun that outweighs, at least in the short term, the kilkul. There are many options in this case. It's hard to know. In any case, Rambam Shita and the expansion of it to Chovel and other such cases is very, very important. The opposition to the Rambam is also very important. The next case is Korei Al HaMeis. That's where this question of mitzvah may come into play. Again, our Rishon will probably say that any mitzvah is tikkun. End of story. And then they'll have to explain that Havaras Bas Kohen and Mila are also tikkunim. If you say any mitzvah is tikkun, the Gemara seems to say that that's part of the issue. So you have to explain, like Rashi in the Sugya, that the problem of the Gemara there isn't only whether it's kilkul v'tikkun, but whether the kilkul v'tikkun takes place on the tzricha l'gufa or ein tzricha l'gufa component of the malacha. Now, as some of you noted the other day, that's not explicit in Rashi on the Mila of Anavaris Bats Kohen part. It is explicit in Rashi on the Tzorech Efer, Tzorech Kelev part of Rav Avo and Rav Yochanan. But in light of one, it's certainly plausible to say that would extend as well to the other. That's if you take the view that Korea Alameis is Mishum Mitzvah per se. That would be very important, that all mitzvahs are tikkun. There's another possibility, and that is Rabbeinu Tam, which we didn't yet discuss. Aaron, what is Rabbeinu Tam? Tell us his quote, Rabbeinu Tam. The other possibility, that Korei Al HaMeis is Tikkun, that's what the Gemara seems to say, even though Havaras, Bas Kohen, and Mila maybe are not Tikkun. Those should be Mechalek between different types of mitzvahs. Right, so Tosfos on Kufayim and Beis quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Right? What does Rabbeinu Tam say? Yeah, you can read it in if you want. Just go quickly, though, because I want to get through most of this today. At least the cases. All right, before we get to... The point is that if it's Mishum Mitzvah and you hold all mitzvahs are tikkun, great. As I say, you can do a halachic reality idea, or you can just say, it has enough tikkun... Certainly, tikkun kol dehu by virtue of the mitzvah, and so on. The only thing to contend with is the question of lakshin tzricha legufa, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, fine. Okay. The problem with that is it doesn't work well for the general view of the Bali Tosis in the Sugya and Kuvav. It might work well in Kufay, it doesn't work well in Kuvav. Why doesn't it work well in Kuvav? Because, Jonathan, why doesn't it work well in Kuvav for Tosis? Because according to Tosis, yeah, it seems like the Moshe and Tzricha Legufa part is not the basis of the argument, unlike Rashi's reading of the Sugya. The issue is Mekalka. Right? So it sounds like, when it comes to Havaras, Bas Kohen, and Mila, it sounds like there's a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether or not that is Kilkul or Tikkun. And there's also machlokus about Tzorech Efer, Tzorech Kelev, whether that is, or whether Katsas Tikkun makes a difference. It seems like there are three views about Mila and Havaras Bas Kohen, according to Bali Tosfos. One view is that it's Kilkul. That seems to be Rav Shimon in the Gemara. Rav Shimon Aliba de Rav Avohu. This second view, the opposite view, is Rav Yehuda, who says Mali Latakin Mana Mali Latakin Mila, though we still have to understand that. Right? And the middle view is Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Mila and Havaras Bas Kohen will be the equivalent of Tzarech Efer and Tzarech Kelev, namely Yesh Bahem Tikkun Ktas. But the point is that according to Bali Tosis, it's not Mikubal by everybody, certainly not within Rav Shimon, that Mila and Havaras Bas Kohen are Tikkun. So that's what Tosis points out here on Kufei Omid Beis, right, Aaron? You're going to be that part of it first. Benir Lari.
Benir Lari, the woman stacking Ella, Hamasa, Akamasa. Allah, Neso, Lopi. The Mace, the Alma, Patrick, Makabo, the Mace, the Day, the Kimitsu, Pashid, the Tak. Apagat, the Kuman Lashman, the Sir, the Mace, the Pashid, the Roshim, the Tikun, the Payal, the Mila, the Hart, that's coming.
Yeah, so here's the statement that according to Rav Shimon, it's simply not true that a mitzvah is tikkun. Go ahead. Oh, okay, so the first answer of Tosas is, this is very important, is that even kriya, alames, right, is not midin the mitzvah, or not midin the mitzvah alone. So just as there's a debate between the Rambam and other Rishonim whether an Isur is always kilkul, there's also a debate in the Rishonim whether or not mitzvah is always tikkun. And Bali Tosis, in the first answer, are saying mitzvah is not tikkun. Or at least it's not only tikkun. So as we noted the other time, what is a tikkun? The tikkun is tikkun shebechatza. The beged is now usable for the next seven days. Correct? Okay. Now that in itself, as we noted, number one, there are two gersos on the chimum here, yisbe chimum or ein bo chimum, and what it means. Secondly, is it a combination of the Rambam of mitzvah, hagavra, plus tikkun hachefza, or does the mitzvah play no role? It's also not so clear. Okay. Maybe it depends on the two gersos about chimum. But either way, the second day is very, very critical. A mitzvah is not always tikkun. Now, of course, it also should be noted that even though there is tikkun habeged, according to Tosafot, so you might say, oh, it's not a halachic reality issue because it's this tikkun habeged. But of course, that too is interesting because, Elichan? And it's a halachic tikkun. In other words, the kriyas habeged makes this beged roi halachically for the next 7 days. So both points are important to underline here, as you did. Number one, it's temporary, it's for the 7 days. And number two, it is a halachic tikkun abeged. That itself is interesting. Okay, continue. So that's according to the Ri. But according to the Ri, you certainly don't walk away with the impression that mitzvahs per se, they may contribute, they may not. Halacha may contribute, may not. But either way, mitzvah per se is not tikkun. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah, Michael?
How is it a halachic
I think the makah patish and the lulav might be a better analogy.
Okay.
Because in the other case, in the maternity clothes, right? That's simply the physical condition that the person is in. All I'm just saying here is that here, it's, in other words, I'm coming from a certain context. The context is tikkun and kilkul a physical? Is it measured physically or is it measured halachically? Okay, so in a way, you're pointing out exactly why it's an in-between case. I'm not suggesting that it's purely halachic, but I am suggesting that it's also halachic. Meaning, normally, when you rip your clothes to use them for the next 7 days, you know, that's objectively, one wouldn't think that that's a tikkun. Because the clothes are objectively in worse shape. If you wanted to sell the clothes, they would be of less value, right? Certainly in long term and even in the short term, if it wasn't for the matter of halacha. But I you know, it just shows that you're so committed that you like halachic reality, which I do too. So I'm not going to argue with you too strenuously. But it is something in between. That's all I'm trying to say. Okay. In that sense, it's like the, as you say, the tikkun alulav, except the whole concept there is, you know, is of the lulav, the only significance of the lulav is halachic to begin with. Clothes have a dual function. Right. But in the sense that, you're right, it's given the reality which this person must live, which is that for halachic reasons, he cannot wear anything but gadim pruim for the next 7 days, so it's like, that's his maternity clothes. So, I agree and disagree, but I mostly agree. Okay. Now comes Rabbeinu Tam. So what is Rabbeinu Tam? Aaron? Okay, what's he saying?
He's saying that since in this case the tikkun is simultaneous with the shas kriya, it's not considered kilful.
But Shane came the other case.
The other case it comes at the end, so therefore.
What are the other cases? Yeah, and well, Sukkot. So this is Rabbeinu Tam. So read Rabbeinu Tam on the Kuvav for a second, if you don't mind. He's quoting Rabbeinu Tam later on, right? So Dibur Maskel Chutz Mechov Lamavir Kuvav Min Aleph. So we have basically a third shita, one shita that says or could say mitzvah equals tikkun. End of story. Okay, and the Ri who says no, mitzvah doesn't equal tikkun, contributes nothing to it, or you know, only partially contributes to it. But either way, you need beged, you need beged haroi, even if it's for halachic reasons that it's roi. Correct? Now, Rabbeinu Tam who basically says whether or not, basically Rabbeinu Tam is saying that mitzvos are tikkun. All mitzvos are tikkun. Except that the tikkun has to be b'shas hamalacha. The problem in mitzvos that are shalom b'shas is not that they're less of a mitzvah or that they're less of a tikkun, right? The problem is that it's the equivalent of almost what Rashi has, except for a different basis. What did Rashi have in the sugi about tzorach hefer, tzorach kelet? It is tikkun, but it's tikkun on the in its tzricha legufa part. Rabbeinu Tam is saying this is tikkun, but it's the question is it a tikkun that's integrated into the malacha, or is it an after product? Is it a byproduct? Right? So mitzvah is always tikkun, according to Rabbeinu Tam. I already do the sugya of tzorach hefer, tzorach kelev, havaris bas kohen and mila. The answer is, the tikkun comes too late, and therefore it doesn't define the malacha. Okay, go ahead, read it if you could. Yeah. One could argue with this because one could say that that's really integrated into part of the malacha, which is exactly what the Ramban and some of the other Rishonim said. Right? It's the whole malacha is to produce Efer and Dam, as we noted. That's one of the byproducts of all these discussions, the different perspectives on what Kovil is, what Mavir is, what the Chepza really is. Is it the fire? Is it the Eitzim? And so on. Okay. But Rabbeinu Tam is clearly saying that Chavala and Havara are what they are, and the Efer and the Dam are products, after products. Go ahead. Because again, he has a problem, right? If indeed you need simultaneity of some sort, so why is Shechita considered a tikkun? Right? You can't eat it until after the Shechita. The answer is because immediately it's machshir or motzi midei eber melacha. Okay, the korea. Yeah, meaning the outlet the amos of the base is simultaneous to the act of kriya. Okay. Okay. This is going to be the biggest challenge for Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. Okay, so we'll get back to that in a minute, Kare. But basically, this is Rabbeinu Tam Shita, that unlike some of the other Rishonim, where the issue is whether it is or isn't Tikkun, and whether that depends on mitzvah or also needs a chetza component and so on, according to Rabbeinu Tam, things depend on the timing. But again, the idea of the timing is not in any way to attenuate the Tikkun, it's to link up the Tikkun with the Malacha itself. So by implication, he's saying that Mila, Navaras, Bas Kohen are not B'Shas Maisa. Why is that really true? So if you look at the Rav Yah, on page 233, Rav Yah expands on this idea. The time of Rav Shimon B'Yalef Lomim Mila, Hasa Mika Tikkun Mikiyama Mitzvah, the Karva Davar L'Kareyal Meso, Shunikar Malacha Tzricha L'Gufa M'Shum Kiyama Mitzvah. It's not Tzricha L'Gufa, but same idea. El Shezech Chiluk Beineyem, She'im Kriyaso Tikkuno, She'hi HaMitzvah. Abo b'mila ein tikuno klal ad shiyugmar legamri shari chozer ala tzitzim ha-ma'akmim es ha-mila. Rav Yal says that the reason that mila is delayed and not considered to be one moment or simultaneous is because of the tzitzim ha-ma'akmim es ha-mila. When you begin the process and you have yet to complete it, so in a way that's what second. Okay. Alright, we'll get to that. So, of course, this is a little bit of a chiddush. Chozo al tzitzim ma'akvin samila. U'betchilas mila nasa chabura. B'doma l'chova b'tzorech l'kalba u'mavr b'tzorech l'efrosh hu achar kach. This could be an explanation for what Rabbeinu Tam means. The Apal Pi Shigam, so the Rav Yah says, Apal Pi Shigam B'Kriya Shiro Tefach. So if the Shir is Tefach and the Kriya, but the Kriya begins before. All right, so what would you answer to that question? Noam?
Until you get to the Shir,
say again? No, you don't want to say that. If anything, you want to say the opposite, I think. If you want to get the right result. Mark?
That's about motions as opposed to the amount. And that by Mila, that's the first motion of Mila, you go back to the teaching about motions of action as opposed to Kriya, whereas one fluid motion.
Very good. I think that's what I would have said. This is a quantitative shear, how much you have to do. So that can be integrated. You're already doing it. You have to reach a tefach, but basically, the mila, there's the mila and there's the tzitzin hama'akvin. Again, I'm not a moel, but from what I understand, yeah.
When we spoke about the sefer, we spoke about connecting
between
the connections.
Right.
And there, time didn't matter. So
I don't think, again, if the point is, the assumption of the Rav Yah's question is that everything depends on actual simultaneity. That seems to be the assumption. In Kilkul and Tikkun. I mean, there has to be Tikkun rather Bizman Hamalacha. And the malacha already you have, even before you reach the tefach. And the malacha you have, even before you reach the tzitzin hama'akvin. Okay. So, there's no simultaneity. Okay, I'll give you the answer that he gives first of all. So he has a sahih midrabana. The shir tefach, he doesn't go back on the assumption. Sahih midrabana. V'yasmechu akra v'yichazek, gemar moed kata. De'in achiza p'chusa mitefach. Miu legabe Shabbos, lo afshar mishumai taimo. But basically, the way he's reading Rabbeinu Tam is that it's really about simultaneity. I think what Mark is suggesting is something else. Number one, as I said, there's a difference between the tzitzin and the tefach. One is a shiur, how much you have to do of the same thing that you're doing, and the other is a dvarim ha-ma'ak, tzitzin ha-ma'aknin, or tzitzin she'en ha-ma'aknin. You know, it's different components within the mitzvah itself. But I think more likely is the idea, I think this is what you're getting at, that it's quite possible that Rebbeinu Tam never had in mind simultaneity, either way. What he really had in mind is the question whether or not two things are happening here at the same time, or whether it's one process and one action. Is that what you're trying to get at? When you're connecting to Pesach Ratio?
I think that's what Rebbeinu Tam is doing also, but then based on the time, like we said.
Right, so time can sometimes. No, okay. Right, okay, so sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. That would be the point. Meaning, it's not an issue of time per se, but sometimes the time lag reflects that something is not part of the same halakha. Just like according to, again, the Ra'ah, right? So, indispensability, or in Pesach Ratio, indispensability determines whether something is integrated. And sometimes, we had in the Malachim Tzvichel Guf according to some Rishonim too. Time is an indicator of that. If you can stop, before you reach point B, and without reaching point B, you haven't done the mitzvah, that shows these are separable. So the time serves the function of indicate. But Lu Yitzuyer, you know that halachically, Al Pidin, it's considered one integrated performance, not two different or a performance, an action of three components, let's say. So then there will be an issue. I'll just, to explain it a little better, Rabbeinu Tam, I told you to look at Rabbeinu Tam and say, Far Yashar Simin Reish Tzani. There's one phrase that Rabbeinu Tam uses again and again and again and then again, about five times. Which the phrase that Rabbeinu Tam Moshe uses in Sefer Hayashar? Could be. Namely? No, no, no. That's the Nirvana in Sefer Yosha, though. I think it's all right. What phrase does he always use to explain what is Tikkun? Yeah. Tikkun begufa dikalu kminu b'tzarech lebasar l'tzvo ha'or kemavir sh'tzarech l'yiskame malahar demetakein begufa davar. Al hai chogu l'mavir demahani mekalkalin inu metakein begufa davar. Rav Yudah tzarech l'efro tzarech l'kal b'patu kibishar mekalkalin de'inu metakein begufa davar. The baskoin amila metakein begufa davar chashiv le. I think five times or more. Abel gabi Shabbos. Okay, we'll get to that. Yeah, gabi Shabbos melech machsheves asra Torah kibin the metakein begufa shel davar. Apalpi shekukula yosra al tikuno. And then again later on, he says korek susa v'chamasa lemir me'emasa b'kriyasa rami emasa metakein begufa shel davar haba. And then again. Okay, so I understated it earlier. It wasn't four, it's like six or seven times. According to Rebbeinu Tam, it seems like what's necessary here is Eitan? Tikkun begufa shel davar. So what does Tikkun begufa shel davar really mean, according to Rebbeinu Tam? So one could have said, based on some of the early cases in Sefer Yashar, that he means bechefza. You need tikkun hachefza? Just like the Ri says, you know, the beged shall avail us is roi lo sanayam, and that's tikkun begufa shel davar. But it becomes perfectly clear from the continuation that it's not so, because even korea lemirma emasa al bnei beso is considered tikkun begufa shel davar, as are some of the other cases. So what is tikkun begufa shel davar, and how does tikkun begufa shel davar fit in to what Rebbeinu Tam is quoted as saying, which is that there's this test of Bivasakas or Bizaya Kharzeh. Yoni, so what do you think? Exactly. So it seems like if you put the two Rebbeinu Tams together, that what Rebbeinu Tam is really saying is that you can't have a byproduct of Tikkun. It has to be Tikkun Begufa Shel Davar. Not necessarily the Chefza, sometimes it'll be the Chefza, sometimes it'll be other things, but it has to be a Tikkun which is integrated into the Maisa Aveira itself, not that is an extraneous product of the Maisa Aveira. And how will that be tested? Well, in some cases, in many cases, it could be tested by whether there's a time lag or not. And in other cases, even if there is a time lag, if it's a technical time lag, but it's clear that what you're doing is a Tikkun Begufa Shel Davar, then that's going to be fine too. The issue isn't about timing per se. It's not about, oh, there's a second in which this malacha took place where there wasn't a tikkun. As long as it's an integrated performance, it's called tikkun begufa shel davar, and that's what you're involved in, the fact that you could artificially stop maybe isn't always ma'akev. Yeah?
That was true. Why wouldn't the Gemara use that for
Well, you can always say Korea Hamasa that it's not tikkun period. Like the Tosar Rosh said. It's because it's also.
Right. And then instead of saying
that it's
why can't we just say it's not
tikkun
because it's not
tikkun
al.
Well, it is
tikkun
begufa. It is
tikkun.
It's an immediate
tikkun. The tikkun is on the person. It's not the tikkun on
the. No. That's my whole point. Exactly. I'm saying. And isn't that true for why are you asking the Havamina? Why not ask for Korea Lemirma Emasal and Chevesa? You're not talking to the beggar. Right? And also, Beit Tam, as far as I know, is not operating with Korea Lemesa because of the beggar being worried. No, so the answer is in those cases, it's not. It is Tikkun B'Gufa Shel Davar because there's no time lag. Meaning, in the Malacha itself is a Malacha's Tikkun. All of Beit Tam, it's not a mystical formula that you can't have a second of Kilkul, there's got to be Tikkun Kol Shah of the Shah. You could have said that, Rabbi Tam. So I don't think that's the shot. Rabbi Tam, because then it has nothing to do with this other point that he's making about Tikkun Begufa Shel Davar. Tikkun Begufa Davar is for the Rabbi Tam. These are two different formulations of the same thing. Namely, intrinsically, the Malacha, that doesn't mean objectively, that's something else. But this intrinsic Malacha can't be something extraneous to the Malacha, a byproduct of the Malacha. It's got to be integrated into the Maisa Malacha itself.
This is that is a byproduct by the fact that he ripped, by the fact that he tore it, so therefore...
The tearing is a fearful, the tearing, I mean, the way that we're looking at it is that, you know, the act of tearing is a ema generating, you know, action. Just as it's psychologically, you know, if it would work, or if it wouldn't have been asur, you know, it would be a psychological release. Right? So this is the ema, you know, producing action. It's not after the fact. It's that second, that effect. You know, this is not somebody that I want to start up with. You know, he means business. Right? Whatever it is. And again, Rishon pointed out, you know, one shouldn't be too terrifying either to one's anshei beisa. That's just a good eitz hatov. Yeah. Sorry? So that is the biggest challenge to Rabbeinu Tam. So this is, I think, the makom hapatish. You know, if you'll excuse the, you know, expression. That's what Tosa says. What are you going to do with Korea Manas Litvar? So what is Tosa's answer? So it sounds like Tosa is saying, well, there's compensation. What do I mean by compensation? Meaning, since it's going to end up even better than it was, right? This is Kuvav Manal for the last lines. You're right, that's the biggest challenge. Korea Manas Litvar Mocha Kamanas Lichto. Dibachayv the Kula Alma. Afagav Dibashasa Kilkul. Ena bohatikun, hain mishum shakilkul goren tikun yoser tov libesof. B'tikun gomorhu, shreini yochalasa satikun oyedea kilkul. So it sounds like the Beit Tam is saying, because it's an even more impressive kilkul, so the intensity of the tikun is so great, it can violate this law. Strange. What does that mean? But I think what he means is, I think he's struggling to say what Tosa says on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. I think what he's struggling to say is the fact that the tikkun ends up being yoser gadol because of the kilkul is another way of establishing what? Eliezer. Exactly. Instead of looking at this as kilkul almanas latakein, and then the payoff is only later, the way we should really be looking at it is this is tchilas hatikkun. The fact that it ends up better in the end means that the tikkun begins at the moment of the kilkul. Because if you draw a big circle, if you look at it, you know, piecemeal. Here you have the tikkun part, here you have the tikkun part, and then the next stage is the tikkun part. Right? So if you look at it that way, so basically what are we dealing with? A real problem, not for everybody, in particular for Beinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, even when there aren't two completely discrete stages, we still require some sort of simultaneity. You know, and here it's totally discrete. It looks like it's two different melachos even. This one is almanas, the other. You can barely hyphenate in that case. However, if the pshat is, like we discussed, for, you know, again, Sefer HaShlomo doesn't think so. And neither does some of the, and neither does Tosfos Rid, maybe. But at least according to Tosfos Ayin Gimel and some other Rishonim, which is that Amanas, Latakein, and so on, isn't just to remove the problem of Ein Tzricha L'Gufan, it isn't just to remove the problem of Tikkun and Kilkul, because if it was just to remove that problem, at least for a bit of time, this should be a serious dilemma. Unless, again, you say it's quantitative compensation, if you're happy with that. But if the real shot is, the fact that it's Yosar Gadol in the end, is a reason to put a big circle right around the, this is actually the beginning, this is stage one of Melechas Tikkun. So there is no Kilkul V'Achakach Tikkun. All there is Tchilas HaTikkun HaGadol. So if Rabbeinu Tam is really worried only about, like he says, Metakeh B'Guf HaDavar, it is Metakeh B'Guf HaDavar. To the, you know, to the uninitiated, it may not look that way. But Al Pidin, if you really want to know the lumness, what's happening here, when you're knocking down the building, that's not demolition to be followed by building. That is stage one of building. The fact that it's going to be better because of it means the tikkun is right there. I don't think it's an exception to his rule. Better tikkun allows you later tikkun. That's technically what Tosa says. Rather, better tikkun allows you to see the kilkul itself as tikkun. The kilkul is part of the tikkun. Normally you have the kilkul, but there's a tikkun later on. You don't have that here. I think that's exactly what's happening according to Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. So much for, again, we want to move on to other cases, so, but that's very, very important. So, so much for L'chamaso, and the relationship to Iser and psychology and so on, that's one. And the other one is mitzvah. Okay. Well, let's say something about Tzorach Eper, Tzorach Kelev also. So again, according to Rashi, as we've noted, Tzorach Eper, Tzorach Kelev, and possibly Mila and Havaras Baskoim might be Tikkun L'Kula Alma. The only question is the Tzorach L'Gufo aspect. Again, I'm not sure about this for Mila and Havaras Baskoim. I think the Ha'ara that was made is correct. It's not Mukhrak. It doesn't say those words there, but it's certainly possible to understand it that way. If you understand that the Tikkun is in the Ein of Tzricha L'Gufo, then you can read the whole sugya that way, and then you can say any mitzvah is always a Tikkun and so on. And not only that, but Tzorach Eper, Tzorach Kelev is Tikkun Gomer too. Just on the wrong side of the Malacha. Don't we have a problem with that one?
According to Rashi, that
that doesn't mean it's no tikkun. It just means it doesn't help you for this malacha. It's not an part of the malacha that counts. But I'm interested. I'm not interested in that at the moment. That's the impact of Ein Tzricha L'Gufa on the tikkun. What I'm interested in the moment is different views of what is and what is not a tikkun. That's why it's tricky. But you understand what I'm saying? So for Rashi, it's a tikkun gomor. It's just that's not what the malacha is. As opposed to the Bali Tosfos who say, as we discussed before, according to Rav Yehuda, Havaras Baskoim and Mila are tikkun. According to Rav Shimon, it depends. According to Rav Avo, they're not tikkun at all. According to Rav Yochanan, they are the equivalent of Tzorach Eper, Tzorach Kelev, which is tikkun ketas. Okay? Those are just important hagdaros. Now, what's this idea about whether Mila is or isn't a tikkun? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon for Bali Tosfos. Is that just a machlokas in the issue that we're discussing, whether, you know, l'shem mitzvah is always a tikkun? Again, the halachic reality question? Possibly. But of course, there could be other elements involved. Namely, what other elements? Yonah? Mitzvah Mila, correct. And mitzvah Havaras. Baskoin, it's a little tougher. What do you mean by mitzvah Mila?
The nature and the gather of
okay, so, a little more specific.
specifically with the nature, how much do we view the Sefer Achinuch?
As opposed to?
Excellent.
So the what Yonah says is as follows. There's a debate about the nature of Mila. It has roots already in Chazal, right? Tarnas Rappus, I think, is the one alleged to have said to Rabbi Akiva, if the Rabbanu Shalom wants you to do a Brit Mila, so shouldn't at least all Jews have been Nolad Mahol, right? So again, Rabbi Akiva said, that's the Baruch Shalom gave us the mitzvah to do the milah. That's the point. Okay, Tarnas Rappus seemed to have a whole tough time with that whole concept. Okay. So anyways, what does it all mean? So it can be crystallized in the debate between the Rambam and the Chinuch, possibly. The Rambam Bar Nebuchim sees milah in a way as an act of destruction. Okay, or a person, an act of tzimtzum in a way at least. And Sefer Chinuch formulates, Mila, that child is born in a state of imperfection, and the obligation is to perfect him. Which, of course, is very. Both of them are highly symbolic. They're not mutually exclusive either, but they're two different perspectives on Mila. You intentionally limit yourself as an act of Avodas Hashem, or, especially implying in a physical way, physical hana, and so on. Or the opposite, you're born in a state of imperfection, and every Jew is supposed to strive, for perfection, or for self-improvement at least, and symbolically, the first mitzvah that's done, is the mitzvah of self-perfection. So he's born imperfect. That's what Tarnas Rappus didn't understand. Either of those things he didn't understand. Either that tzimtzum can be a form of kedusha, or that man is, intended to work and to develop himself. In any case, that could be very critical to understanding whether Mila is tikkun or kilkul. In other words, beyond the question, there's certainly a mitzvah, not only a mitzvah, but mitzvah se sheyesh bo karis. And not only that, but one in which the word bris is used many times in the Torah, as the Gemara darshans many things from it. So clearly, the mitzvah of Mila, and Mila is ma'akev for Karmel Pesach, and so on. Mila plays a very, very crucial role. Mila is a part of Geirus. Mila is not just your routine mitzvah, it's reflected in many, many different things. So its status and stature as a mitzvah is unquestioned. But whether or not we view that action in terms of his body, physically, and or spiritually, as an act of kilkul, or as an act of tikkun, that's a separate question. And as I say, it's reflected very much by the two perspectives of the Chinuch and the Rambam, but even earlier in Chazal. So is it possible that that's the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda says, Mali, Metakein, this is a good, drasha for Amila. Mali Latakein Mana, Mali Latakein Mila. Okay, it's also connected in part, on a more technical level, but it might be related to the Balamor Ramban question. Right, the Balamor saw Mila as Hasara Sa'orla. I think you could still raise the question that we're raising now about Kikul and Tikkun for both, but of course a certain suggestive correlation. Hasara Sa'orla, and Ramban felt that Mila was about Tikkun HaGuf. There's no question, as we already discussed, that there are both of those elements in Mila. There are some Rishonim understand that might be mechalek even in different areas. So, well, what is Mila? Hasar Sa'orla? Or is it a kiyum begufo that he's mal? So these questions, these internal Mila questions, the relationship between Hasar Sa'orl and the Gavra, the relationship between is it tikkun, is it kilkul, might very much be part of the issue here. And then there's a third issue, which deserves to be raised, which we've shown him raise explicitly also. Namely, Ellie? Third formulation, Jeremy? Hattas? What other formulation? In addition to whether it's considered self-perfection, yeah, Ellie.
Whether the fact that now you are in the RL is...
Well, now that you're not an RL. And therefore...
able to, whatever the other status thing along with the Tikkun Ish,
Yeah, exactly. That's what some of the Rishonim point out. The Sharan, the Rajah, the Miri writes, in addition to everything else, what about the fact that you are now Mukhshar, Lekorban Pesach, Lekodshim? Right? So maybe that constitutes Tikkun. That already is tricky. In a way, that gets back to Michael's question before, or what I discussed with the Beged, namely because, well, I think there are two elements to it. Number one, it's a matir. So it's, again, a halachic hechsher. But of course, there's another question, and that is it really a matir and a hechsher, or is it hasaras, ha'ikuv? Is it that by being a mole and having full Kedushas Yisrael in that respect, so that's a new positive status, le'inyan these dvarim, or, simply as an RL, it's makev. So whether it's really tikkun or hasaras, ha'ikuv, is also an issue. Yeah, was a question? Yeah.
Even if you don't say it's makev, can you just tell me the difference between how much what you do relates to the effect afterwards? Like when you rip the beged, so you're doing that for the sake of having a beged.
Well, you're just speaking in Rebbeinu Tam terms, it sounds like. But there is an immediate change. You're now Ro'i Lahavi Korban Pesach. Let's say it's now Pes Zion, Nisa. So you're going to have to wait a year. But you're still Ro'i Lekorban Pesach.
Right, but it seems strange to say
that
somebody doesn't get a Mila so they can do Korban Pesach.
I don't know. The question is it completely unrelated or not? That's part of what we're asking, actually. In other words, if you were to formulate it and say anybody who didn't do their mitzvahs mila cannot bring a Korban Pesach, so then the emphasis remains on the mitzvahs mila. On the contrary, even the Korban Pesach part of it is just a function of the mila part of it. Right? If you say there are two dinim, number one is mitzvah mila, and number two, mila is also a gateway for the Korban Pesach. Then that could say there are two dinim and they're unrelated. Or you could say a third point, and that is that, two things happen when you have a bris mila. You're in the mitzvah of Mila, and immediately you become kosher for the Korban Pesach. That it's not relevant only when it comes up, it's relevant to me. I think this you could say in different ways. You have to look for these connections, what they really are. I think even the psukim themselves are in some cases, suggestive, of how close the relationship is. But I just, reeled off three different, totally different formulations. It's all based on the Mila. It's, it's totally unconnected and different than what is only important when it comes up, or at least it's bottle, and its significance to everything else. Or they're just, there's a Hechsher Gaber right now, you're Royal Karbanos and you're Royal Korban Pesach. The practicality of it is irrelevant, it's a status, a stature matter. But some of these things, of course, alluded to in the Rishonim, I say the Rajba and the Husharan and the Meiri, which I have down in front of me, relates to both of these questions. We talked about Rabbi Yehuda, because that's one issue, but as I say, one could have said, that's in 10 months, or that's separate, or that's batel. So either he's saying, or that's because of the negativity of getting rid of the chiyuv mitzvah. It's not going to be a separate, it's not a matir, it's just the removal of an obstacle. Clearly, he holds it's a matir, it's relevant now, and so on. Benimsis chavalaso tzarechanaso. Baru tikun gamur, kechovel b'shchita, shol nikra metakein b'tzad mitzvah sashchita lavad, lebibnei tzarech achilaso. Fascinating. Meaning, shchita is a matir. What's important about shchita being a matir is not because it's a mitzvah. Maybe it's a mitzvah because it's a matir. But then he says, oh, shemitoch mi'usahu tikun gamur ketikun kli. What is that? That's the Sefer HaChinuch perspective. Namely, Mila is about self-perfection. And again, with a Ramban rather than a Balamor twist. It's not about the Orel. It's about the Tikkun HaGavra. Yeah.
The Chovis Balamor Ramban is about the answer of Lagufa.
Yeah. I don't mean it that they're Chovatai.
So we're
changing
it from one.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the debate could be only about Insich HaLegufa. When we talked about the Balamor Ramban, I also raised the question whether there was, and it's as we noted, it applies to even things like Gozes you know, tziparnayim, and so on. I raised the question then whether or not there isn't also a halakha component of it in Harel, in Mila. And the nature of Mila plays into it as well. I don't think that it's mukhach at all in the Bala Mornaban, because there are these other cases which are totally neutral. I mean that that same idea, if it would be applied to Kilkul, the Tikkun. Yeah, that's what I meant. Okay, so the point is that there are, I think, different ways to understand the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, or whether or not Avaris... Now, what about Avaris Bas Kohen, I should say? So that's already much, much more difficult. The truth is, it's on two sides. Number one, it's more difficult to see... That's to say that a bris mila is a perfection, an act of perfection, to say that it's machshir as hagabra, to say that you know, all these things is, you know, it brings Kedushas Yisrael. Good, it's all, I think, very, as I say, very inspiring. Avaris Bas Kohen, you know, we don't have the same fuzzy, happy, you know, there's a little tzar dinuka in the bris mila, but we get over that, right? Right? Sasanochi Ali Rasecha Kemotzi Shalal Rav. I mean, it's a big simcha. Otherwise, I would have said Shasim Chavimon if not for the Tzara Dinuka. But right, no one's going to say Shasim Chavimon for the Havaras Bas Kohen. Okay, not even the Amshel Shlomo, you know, who likes to expand it. So on the contrary, you know, we might say Tamu Chataim in ours or Shalom Odei Nam. You know, Chataim Chotim Loksiv on the Chataim. So we don't have that same kind of enthusiasm, you know, witnessing the execution. And that's as much as it has to be done, but you know, probably most of us are happy that we don't have to do it. Moreover, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is it seems like you have less need for it too. Why is that so, Yehuda? What would in fact? Say that again?
Like every male has to do Mila
with Avaris. Okay, that doesn't... whatever has to do, Bezdin has to do it. But, I don't mean that. What I mean is, one could have said that this whole issue of Avaris Bas Kohen wasn't a very... Maybe the pressure should be on Rabbi Shimon, not on Rabbi Yehuda. Is what I mean. If you take a certain perspective, which some people do in the Sugya, namely... Ari? If it's the Bishul Hapsila, right, more than the actual Havara, which the Gemara implies. Do you have a language there? Gemara?
Yeah.
So on the one hand, as I say, we don't have the same, it's not like we're, you know, Roman gladiators. It's Malitakin Mila, Malitakin Mana, which we might interpret to say either the mitzvah or the shleimus, physical or spiritual or both, or the tikkun agavra l'inin bar macher, that's fine. But mali levashal psila, mali levashal samanim, right, seems to shift everything away from the actual habara to the bishul. As we shall know. Right? So if you say that, so then it comes, as the Miri points out, so... Why not just say the Bishul Apsila isn't Kilkul? Right? It's like, you know, Motzi, Kezias versus Arab. When is the 11? Okay. So it's like Motzi, Davar versus Arab. Kedei Lazarko. Right? You're going to say that the Hotzah is Kilkul? That's it. That's part of what we discussed in Tikkun Tu. Lots of questions are raised in Kilkul and Tikkun Tu. So in a way, on the one hand, you don't have the potential to be as enthusiastic about Havaris Bas Kohen and its objective tikkun, or even its halachic / tikkun, you know, because at the same time, we'd rather be Tamu Chataim in Aris. We're not saying that. But at the same time, if we shift everything over to the Bishul rather than the Havara, so then the Beit Tudor of Shimon Rabbi Yehuda is on which part we're emphasizing, it's hard to know, but the Meiri has trouble with it. Are the other Rishonim? Do I happen to have Meiri in front of me here? The Chaim Avaris Bas Kohen, who metakin gomur, shu kemaver etzim levashal salmanim o kedei rasa liyischanim shu chayim, af bishu mekalkal etz leitzim, ho mederech malachtam hana asam bekach, af bishu psila mederech zehu, benimsis havarasa tikun, Mahanasa Litzar of Gufo, Shasa Malacha Tzrichalo. Gafa Pish Jain Zahanas Gufo, Kedarach Shubyard of Mitzvah Mila. We're happy that the Mi'iri acknowledges that. Right? Shahanasa Lachshira Bakilas Kachim, especially if you take that perspective. But there it's a matir, changes your status, right? Being a mole. The aim of Bir Zeh, Elohanas, Kiyum Mitzvah Subyard Tahara. Although it's interesting, right? Is a Biar Tahara, like Balamor and Ramban like, we can ask the question, is a Biar Tahara about getting rid of the Chote? Is it about purging Jewish society, improving Jewish society? But who's the Heftza there? Same kind of question. Mikamakom, B'shas HaBishul Ein Kan Mitzvah Elahanos HaGuf Lasa Satzrichalo Oshema Bir HaRashayim Hanos Gufo Moshomer Misa LiRashayim V'Hana LiOla. Wow. What happened to Yitzamu Chatoim? I guess that's only when there's still that possibility. Imkein Mali Bishul Psila Mali Bishul Samanim. What does that mean? Yesh Mfarshim Mishita Zu that Havar Spatz Koin means something that's cut off in my photostat here. Bas Kohen Mitaras Havara. Shavara Vadai Pater. Hola Mekalkalu. The Havara you're Pater for. The issue is only the Bishul. The Bishul is Lanos, Edel Lanos, Kuba Lanos Mitzvah. El Chiv Zelo Hayala Mishum Bishul. The Hare Linen Bishul ain't Kan Kilkol. Afa Bishul Bishul Abala Kalkal Bas. Bas Kohen, I think. It's Kaofa Pito Kedela Zarka Liyam. Okay. Basically, in a word, there are two or three approaches to Havaras Bas Kohen. One is, again, if you say any mitzvah, so fine. If you say any mitzvah kederech, fine. Otherwise, you have to say, either you have to shift everything over to the Bishul, or you have to say that, you know, Kanani, you know, purging Klal Yisrael of its Rishayim constitutes an act of shleimus. Again, I don't think any of us are comfortable with this, but these are the deus of the Mishnah. But what emerges is that the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon could either be a debate about Kilkul and Tikkun, generally, even in terms of the mitzvah itself, or a debate about these individual mitzvahs, the components of these mitzvahs, and whether they qualify. Yeah. Not this first thing. Well, Mary doesn't say that. I mean, it's good for her. Right. Tell her that. Right. Oh, Rita says that? Again? Oh, for Tzricha Lagufa. Even she needs it. Yeah, I think that's different. I'd be more comfortable saying that in Tzricha Lagufa than to say Kilkul. But it's possible. I mean, it's a tikkun for the person.
It's a tikkun for the kahuna of the father, the Soviet Halalis.
Okay, I'm not sure that's any better than saying it's a purging for Klal Yisrael. Right. I mean, I think you could say one or the other, but it's in the same direction. I think this is better for Klal Yisrael than it is for the person, although there isn't unquestionably an element of tikkun, no question about. But we still, you know, say the Itzilu Eidam, Shakru Eidam, we still try to get the person off the hook. We don't work to give them the death penalty so that they can have more direct kapara. There's an element of kapara, of course, but maybe that would be enough. Possible. I think it's fascinating. Different. This sugya of kilkun tikkun, like Ein Tzricha Lagufa, becomes a window to understand better certain mitzvahs. Yeah. Jeremy, you had a question? Oh, okay. Very good. Anybody else for that? Okay. Good. So, as for Tzorch Lekele and Tzorch Lekele, again, we know we saw that already with regard to Lakshin and Tzricha Lagufa. Is it really so extraneous, like Rabbeinu Tam says? Again, the Rishonim who said that that's what Mavir and Kovel really is all about. Okay. The next issue to discuss, I guess we'll stop here. The next issue to discuss is Shochet. So what we want to do, we'll try to finish all this on Sunday, and I hope we can start the next topic too Sunday. We want to discuss Shochet, the Mikaskinuch cases, the Rembrandt cases. They're all very similar in a way. The role of Melachas Machsheves Asra Torah in Mekalkel. Let's try to finish it off on Sunday. And then we can move on to Mishkan Toldos, and then to the Avos themselves. Okay.